Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
And now, Cityscape Productions presents All Things Jacksonville. The city, its people, and you. Here's your host, Bruce Arns.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the third edition of All Things Jacksonville. Your city, its people, and you. I'm your host, Bruce Arms, and it's fantastic to have you with us today. Thanks for listening. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Where's my background? Yeah, where is it?
What is All Things Jacksonville?
No. Hold on. Time out. We have a couple of little technical difficulties here today. Not a problem. Again, happy Father's Day to everybody. Today's show is brought to you by Nimnick Family of Dealerships and Safari Truck of Jacksonville. My guests today are Mr. Alan Verlander, who is running a few minutes late. He's the founder and CEO of Airstream Ventures. He was walking in the door as we speak. His chair set up. His mic is there. You may remember Alan as the Executive Director and CEO of the Jacksonville Sports Council and Executive Director and COO of the Taxslayer Bowl. And Alan, your guest isn't with you today.
He's not. He's actually preparing the track. We've got a small little race next weekend.
You're getting all his questions.
There we go.
Well, welcome. It's glad to have you with us today.
Good to be
also
here.
Joining us today is the inimitable, and I'm going to use that word more than once today, the inimitable Mr. Peter Bragan Jr., former owner of the Jacksonville Suns Baseball Club, now known as the Jumbo Shrimpses. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be here with you.
Listen to that radio voice.
It's perfect. It's just like the velvet tones.
It's awesome. So what is All Things Jacksonville? Well, listen up and I'll tell you again. What is All Things Jacksonville? Well, let's break it down. All is the greatest possible amount of a quality or quantity and can't really even be defined without the second word, thing or things. So all is the entire group of a thing, the entire amount of that group or thing. So are you with me so far? Good. And Jacksonville is the group in that definition. Still with me? Hang in there. All Things Jacksonville is actually a self-defining phrase. It's the greatest amount of the quality or quantity of our city. The place where we live, the place where we work, the place we call home. All Things simply means that everything about your city and my town is in play on this show. Hence the subtitle, Your City, Its People, and You. And perhaps the most important word in that subtitle is you. Because without you, there's no anything Jacksonville. And we're going to talk to you, whether you're listening on your radio or a guest in the studio or on a podcast. It's all about you. You are the people. You are the place. You are the city of Jacksonville. You are All Things Jacksonville. What's important to you? What's important to me? Because after all, I am one of you. We're going to talk about our history. We're going to talk about the preservation of that history. We're going to talk about business. We're going to talk about current events and relative political issues. And most important, we're going to talk about the people and places in our community that make up the history, businesses, events, and issues. I'm not an expert, but I'm a lifelong resident of this great city, and I'm a student of its history. I love where I live, and the town is my teacher. All Things Jacksonville is a long and never-ending story about what has become a very large group of people. But it's a great story, a great read, and we hope a great listen. For example, Jacksonville has a grand musical history and is full of talented people in that arena, and we want you to participate each and every week. This show has 3-segment intros that we want to fill with your voices, your instrumentals, and your bands. I'll tell you how to get involved a little later in the show. We also want to hear from you about what you want to hear from us. If you've got a story, a family history, a unique character in that family, send it our way and just maybe we'll get a chance to share it with everybody. We're glad you're listening today and we hope you'll listen every week. And we hope you'll tell your friends about it because after all, and there's that word again, all, it's all about you, Jacksonville. All about you. And that sums it up. In the booth today, our inimitable, and there's that word again, producer, my co-host, Mr. Matt LaVey. How you doing, young sir?
Bruce, I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
If I got any better, I'd be you.
Oh, how about it?
All Things Jacksonville website is almost complete, and our Facebook page is up and running at facebook.com/AllThingsJacksRadio. That's All Things Jax Radio. Please check it out. Like us if you will. We'd certainly appreciate it. If you have a question, want to be a part of the show, want to just hear yourself on the radio, give us a call at 641-1010 or text us on the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. Again, the number for both is 641-1010. All Things Jacksonville is all about Jacksonville High School athletics, and we'll feature a high school sports report every week in our opening segment sponsored by Airstream Ventures, founders of the High School 912 program, which was created to help youth throughout Jacksonville by taking a holistic approach to guide high school students and athletes to reach their full potential by utilizing academics, sports, and life skills to increase the chances of success for students after graduation. Congratulations on that program. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Awesome.
Today. Matt, what have you got for us?
Yeah, Bruce, well, school may be out for the summer, but there's still plenty of action happening in the world of high school sports. A big award was presented to a local soccer player this week. Cami Lustow of St. John's Country Day School was named the Gatorade Girls Soccer Player of the Year right here in the state of Florida. She scored 32 goals for the Spartans this season as they won their eighth consecutive Class 1A state championship. Meanwhile, some of the best track and field athletes from across the area are competing in the New Balance Outdoor Nationals in North Carolina this weekend. Some of the schools represented include Ponte Vedra, Bowles, Orange Park, and Creekside. Those events will take place throughout the entire weekend. And lastly, a local baseball player has officially signed his professional contract. Former Providence star Tyler Callahan was selected by the Reds in the third round of the MLB draft. Callahan signed his contract with the organization on Thursday. The deal is worth $1.5 million. So plenty of news in the world of high school sports, and we'll keep you posted each and every week with the High School Report brought to you by Airstream Ventures. Bruce?
Great job, Matt. Thank you. This portion of today's show is brought to you by Nimnik Chevrolet and Nimnik Buick GMC. Why buy from a franchise dealer like Nimnik? Higher standards, that's why. Their salespeople, for example, are held to a higher standard by both the dealership and the manufacturer. They are constantly tested on product knowledge and customer satisfaction. In fact, at Nimnik dealerships, the manufacturer bonus program for salespeople is based not just on number of sales, but how well the customer is treated. Their higher standard puts you first. So before shopping the big box car store or the vehicle vending machine, consider the higher standards of a franchise dealer like Nimnik and maximize the return you get on your hard-earned automotive investment. Higher standards, they thought you'd like to know. My guests today are Alan Verlander and Peter Bragan Jr. We'll talk to them right after this short break. You're listening to All Things Jacksonville on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to All Things Jacksonville, your city, the people, and you on 1010XL.
Welcome back, everybody, to All Things Jacksonville. Happy Father's Day. This portion of All Things Jacksonville is brought to you by Safari Truck of Jacksonville. Safari specializes in the application of Linex protective coating for truck bedliners. They take great pride in their personal customer service and wide range of spray jobs. Their standard Linex spray-on bedliners are lab-tested and lifetime guaranteed to protect your truck bed from almost anything you can throw at it. And here's how it works. Linex permanently bonds to your truck bed with a factory-like finish that follows every angle and curve to preserve precious cargo space while creating a watertight seal. So you'll have no air gaps or drill holes to give water a place to hide and, of course, rust a chance to take hold. So protect your investment with the toughest bed liner on the planet. Call Safari today and request a quote or check them out on the web at safaritruckofjacksonville.com. Roll it. Here we go. That's what I thought I was going to hear when we opened the show. My guests today are Mr. Alan Verlander, founder and CEO of Airstream Ventures, and Mr. Peter Bragan, former owner of the Jacksonville Suns. And there's a name in here that's missing. Well, you probably wonder why we put these two guys together today. I mean, we're going to have fun anyhow, but we were supposed to have Mr. Wayne Scarborough, owner of the WW Ranch Motocross Park, which Airstream Ventures is promoting the big event this week. The 48th season of the world's most prestigious off-road motorcycle racing season has begun. The Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship, sanctioned by AMA Pro Racing, will feature 12 rounds of races that span over 11 states, with Jacksonville serving as the fifth stop of the series. And that's next week, right, Alan?
It is, next Saturday. Yep, out of WM Motocross Park.
And the reason that Peter wanted to really come this week, next week's show is all Peter Bragan. We're going to talk the history of baseball and professional baseball in Jacksonville. He had a few little snipes he wanted to shoot at our guest who isn't here. So he was going to be the color man.
Well, he's probably listening. And if not, we'll play him the clips. Right, Pedro?
Wayne Jr., I hope you are listening, brother. I know I remember when your daddy first started the quail farm out there, and he had all those animals. It was a beautiful piece of land. And then you come along and get the bulldozers with the darn motorcycles to jump up and down. What I'd like to know, and I know Bruce is about old as me, but Alan's not. But now, nowadays, everybody calls them motorcycles. But when we were kids, they were motorcycles. Maybe some of our listeners out there could inform us or enlighten us. Why did motorcycles turn into motorcycles? And you might know too, Wayne. Let us know if you do.
Now, he could certainly call in to answer that one if you want.
He may text me off on the bulldozer.
All right. Well, anyhow, you got the shot in, and we wanted that for sure. Hey, how big is this event?
You know, it's really big. I tell you, I mean, Pedro's known Wayne for a long time. This track has turned into a top 10 track in the country. I mean, we are very fortunate to have a facility like this, all built by private dollars. Next week, so far, I was telling Pedro, we've sold tickets to 22 different states, 15 different countries.
My God.
That will come in for this event. So we're looking at probably 15 to 20,000 people coming in. It starts Friday with all the testing, and all the riders and pro riders will come in. There's a media day. We're having a concert Friday night. And then Saturday, all the races happen with the pro races on NBC. So, you know, it's a nationally televised event. I guess nowadays it's a world event, but there'll be people coming in from all over the world, six different continents, coming into Jacksonville, Florida to watch this event. So kudos to the Scarborough family because, you know, we give praise a lot to a lot of people that have built stuff around here. This is one family. They've been in the car business for a long time. But they've done a lot for this community, and now they've turned this facility into a major economic impact for this community.
What did it take for them to get this event?
Well, there's a group. Number one, he's built this facility into incredible. You know, we don't get the Jaguars if we don't have a great NFL stadium, right? So we've got to have a phenomenal facility. And in that, Junior has just done an amazing job, and his wife, Lisa, of building the relationships with the governing bodies of all this. And so it was primed to do this, and a few of us flew up to Morgantown, West Virginia, made the pitch. We, I think the motocross fan, if you're a motocross fan out there listening, you're going to see a different type of motocross event. We're bringing high VIP stuff in there. The party shacks will be out there. The signage, everything's going to look totally different than a normal motocross event. So we want to show off Jacksonville in the best light, and Junior just paved the way for the last decade to allow us to get this event.
Didn't we have one big motocross event there already?
2 years ago, we held the MXGP, which is kind of like the Ryder Cup version of motocross. And it was a great event. It was about a $2 million economic impact, had riders coming in from all over the world. This, as far as attendance and everything, will be about triple or quadruple that.
The questions I have next here were for Wayne. Perhaps I'm going to throw them at you anyhow.
I'll try to answer.
Let's see what happens. A lot of people listening don't know, maybe motocross, don't know what actually happens during a motocross event. So can you describe the competition? For example, how many classes? There are two major classes.
There's two major classes, the 250s and the 450s, right. Which is a different size bikes. And then they will race, and they're racing for obviously time and to beat each other. And so the course, Wayne had to take the original course that was there. If you haven't been out there in a year, we've had to elongate the track to fit a pro race because everything he did out there was built on amateur races, and he's held some pretty big ones and continues to do so. So we had to extend the track to make it a pro-level race with length and everything. So, you know, the laps will be about a minute 45 around the track, and you know, it's going to be an incredible event, and there's so many sight lines that we've now built to be able to see this. And it's going to be warm out there next week. It's you know, the end of June, but we've created a lot of covered seating, created a lot of things to make the fans comfortable.
Is it like stadium seating? I hope to get out there before we did the show today, but I didn't have
We've got bleachers out there in different phases. We've got three different types of VIPs. As I said, the party shacks will be out there, and we've sold all of those. And then we have a special, what we're calling the WW Motocross Park VIP, which will be a air-conditioned tent and seating outside. So there's a lot of opportunities to go see it. And then if you just want to buy a general admission ticket for $50, you can come in. Military can walk in with a military ID for $35. So a big military discount as well.
How long is a pro track? Is
well,
it
depends. It's not like football where it's 100 yards and it doesn't matter what stadium. You know, the old Hoosiers
NASCAR
thing, 10 feet, right. 10 feet, 15 feet. It's different. It's like NASCAR. I mean, every track has its own nuances. But it's most on built on timing. And the pro racers have come in about 2 weeks ago. The top three or four racers in the world were in there testing it out. We had to keep it quiet because a lot of the motocross people would be there. But they said it's a phenomenal track. They're excited to race on it.
What's the big difference in the classes of bikes? I mean, what's the difference between
size? I mean, if you
do
look at NASCAR.
Do they go higher, faster?
From the standpoint of like the Monster Series versus the Xfinity Series, there's differences in those cars with how they regulate the speed, how they regulate, I mean, the sizing, the wind speed. Motorbikes aren't quite that sophisticated as far as those kinds of things. But the size, if you look at a 250 bike and a 450 bike, I mean, there's a significant size that the average person can see. So
it is a step up for the racer when he goes from one class. And I understand we have a couple of those this year.
It is.
In fact, one that won the 250 last year.
That is correct.
Has moved up to
450. Alan, most of the my experience watching has been on TV, and most of those events are inside. Or it looks like they're inside. I guess some of them are on football stadium infields or a baseball stadium.
Which is Supercross. So Supercross is the stadium events, which is kind of overtaken a little bit. I think Wayne would say, that's become more of a marketing tool because you can put it in stadiums. You and I can go. We can sit in the comfort of a seat or in a suite or somewhere like that. The old-fashioned motocross where you go outside like we're doing next weekend, it's totally different. It's at a track, and you come to the event where Supercross and Feld Sports, who puts on the monster truck and all that, they've kind of made it in that regard. So it's still the sport. It's kind of the same sport. It's just how they've marketed it.
And then some of the events, it's one guy running for the best time he can around that track. But then I've seen some, and it might be these ones from Europe, where there's like four motorcycles heading toward one curve at the same time. It looks like, man, something's fixing to happen here. You know, are they going to have that kind or the?
That is it. That's the racing part of it. So you have all different kinds where you have these
qualifying races, right?
Well, these are actual races. So it's there's 12 races in this Lucas Oil Motocross Championship series. We're hosting the U.S. Assure Florida National, which is the fifth race of the series. And so they acquire points just like they do and for the NASCAR fans, to get the cup. And so they will be racing. It is based on timing, but obviously if you got the best time, you're going to win the race. So there will be 40-plus bikes out on the track at one time.
Wow.
Which is a lot. And so I was out in Denver a few weeks ago watching the third race just to get a sense of where we are with all the planning, and we're far ahead I felt really good coming back from there.
But definitely a couple of ambulances standing by. Huh?
You got to have three ambulances there, and 40 bikes take off within a span of about 25 yards going towards the one gauntlet, and then they start racing. And so it's pretty crazy.
Can you guarantee us a wreck?
Nobody hurt, though.
What are the different challenges? I was watching some of the videos of the track, and it looks like the track itself, the surface, is different in different places on the track, in addition to the jumps and the moguls and everything else. So what are the challenges?
I think you just described it. The track is a great track. It's got all different kinds of jumps and skill sets and moguls, and you've got to be able to really control the bike. I think from an event standpoint, it's a flat piece of land, and he's done an amazing job of how it's laid out. And so we are having to bring in everything from scratch. There's nothing from an event infrastructure there for the most part except for the track. And so when you're creating an event for 15, 20,000 people, you got to have concessions, bathrooms, ticketing, parking, merchandise. your VIP areas, your RVs. We're expecting about 1,000 RVs for this race to come in over Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So a lot of moving parts into you go out there right now, none of that is there, and it will start be building into the city beginning on Monday morning. So there's challenges in that, but also as an event planner, when you're looking at it from a clear piece of paper to lay it all out, it becomes a lot easier because you can move the pieces around.
Are there different sections of the track that people want to be on? I mean, for example, there's one part of the track that looks like it's soft and rutted, and it's kind of, you have to control your speed going through there. It's not like you're wide open getting ready to go over a big ramp. Do some people want to sit there? I mean, is it like the 17th hole that do people get there early to get certain seating?
I think everybody has their specific areas that they like to watch. I think the starting and finishing line is always going to be the main point. But then he's got two big mountains and two big hills. I guess here in Florida we call them mountains. Maybe in Colorado it's a little bump. But they're big to motocross. They're big hills. And so, you know, that's always exciting because people come flying off that. The pros come flying off the hill, and they're in the air a long time. So I think people will be all the way around the track and starting and finishing, as obviously you want to be there at the end.
When I this is my fourth time, Peter, interviewing Alan on air, and I always have to triple and quadruple the amount of questions that I would have for a normal guest because Alan has this innate ability, like he just did two paragraphs ago, answering five of my questions that are upcoming in one paragraph, which you did. Let's talk about the amateurs. I mean, it's a big sport for amateurs too, and I understand that might even be the biggest class that shows up. I mean, they ride 125s, right? And they probably have a shorter cutoff on the track where they don't go quite as far, but are they all on the track at one time?
Yeah, well, they will have races on Sunday. So okay. Kind of like the College World Series, which starts today out in Omaha, you go out there and there's little leaguers everywhere watching these college guys play. I think you'll see that next week. These pros are coming in with these big semi trucks and big sponsors and everything. And then you got these little kids up to 80 years old and riding in the master's program that are amateurs that want
to. It's a chance for us, Peter.
They want to see the pros. And so on Sunday, you know, Wayne has built these amateur races where these kids and adults will be able to race on the same track the pros did the day before. And I think that's just, you know, it's a testament to what Junior's been able to do in building this amateur race, not only for next Sunday, but all throughout the year. He's got people riding out there all the time, and he's become one of the, you know, premier motocross guys in the country.
Well, that's the feeder system, and that's what keeps it going, right?
Exactly right. We know something about minor league baseball around here.
You think?
I think it's a great event, and even if you aren't a, motorcycle fan, if you just like racing or like getting out on a Saturday, it'd be a great thing to do. Go out there and check them out. You might want to bring some earplugs along, though, because they do get rather loud. I know that.
They are loud.
This is something I was wondering. Does each race stand on its own? In other words, whoever wins this fifth event in the series gets credit for a win, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and then they get each event has its own name. Like this one does.
That is correct. So they get certain points. And
do they get? Or is it points based on the win, or is there time a factor also? Is there a tiebreaker if somebody should end up with the same amount of points? Is there a time cume maybe for the whole thing?
Not necessarily for this race because it's all aggregated towards the end of the end of the race, and then you've got the championship at the end. So people could tie, and they just get the same amount of points, and they carry those over to, you know, next week where they're racing. So very similar for the average person and layman's person that doesn't understand. If you follow NASCAR or something like that, it's similar to that.
So there's trophies, prizes. There
are big trophies.
And extraneous prizes.
There's prize money. There's, these people get awarded money. They're pros, so they're sponsored and they're getting paid by their sponsors, but they're also purses. And we have to provide the purse. Jacksonville, we have to come up and, we have to provide the purse that these pros will win. So it's a very lucrative sport, but there's a lot of money that goes into it as well.
Okay. Are there prizes for the amateurs?
That Wayne puts together, and that's all on the local organizing committee. They'll do prizes or trophies or ribbons, but there's obviously no purse involved because they're keyword amateur.
You are listening to All Things Jacksonville on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. We're talking with Alan Verlander and Peter Bracken. We're going to take a little break. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. We got more motocross to talk.
You're listening to All Things Jacksonville, your city, the people, and you on 1010 XL.
Welcome back, everybody, to All Things Jacksonville. We're talking with Alan Verlander and Peter Bracken Jr. Today's show is brought to you by Nimnik Chevrolet, Nimnik Buick GMC. Why buy from a franchise car dealer like Nimnik? Higher standards. That's why their salespeople, for example, are held to a higher standard. By both the dealership and the manufacturer, they're constantly tested on product knowledge and customer satisfaction. In fact, at Nimnik dealerships, the manufacturer bonus program for salespeople is based not just on number of sales, but how well the customer is treated. Their higher standards put you first, so before shopping the big box car store or the vehicle vending machine, consider the higher standards of a franchise dealer like Nimnik and maximize the return you get on your hard-earned automotive investment. Higher standards, we thought you'd like to know. All right, Alan, let's get back to motocross. Got a couple more questions for you here. For people that are listening that might want to go out, you said tickets are available at the gate. One of my questions was, what's the fan capacity? You said you got 20,000 people showing up, and I was going to ask about vehicles too, but you said you've got a bunch of RVs, so I guess buses are welcome. And
yeah, they are. I mean, you know, from a capacity standpoint, you could probably fit 30,000 people around there for as long as the track is and three or four deep. It's a great opportunity for, you know, people to just come out and watch an event that they may not be familiar with, but there's lots to do. We've got a lot of kids stuff going on. We've got a big sponsor vendor village that you can walk through. So there's a lot of other things when the racing's not going on. There's a lot of other things you can go and explore. You know, the Scarboroughs have had that farm for Pedro. They've had that farm a long time, right?
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
sure how many
I think
years.
Since the 70s.
Yeah.
Mr. Scarborough bought
time.
That land and started building the farm at that time, you know, more of a farm thing, and had all kind of exotic animals and stuff.
Yeah, we saw the llamas last week. So they've got llamas. They've still got cattle out there. So it's still a working farm.
Let me ask you this. Is there an area where you can come in to the race and just stay in your truck and see some of the race without having to get out of that air conditioning cab, you know? I mean, I would think that could be attractive to some of us elderly ones, Bruce.
There's 15 spaces like that. That's it.
Only 15? Well, you have to come early if you want to stay in your truck, folks.
Well, unfortunately, I think we've already sold those out. Those are the VIP for our big rigs that are coming in, the big RVs and stuff like that. But there's a lot of different areas. Like I said, we've put some shaded seating in. We've put some other things in there that for the fans, because we understand that it is going to be hot. And there's some air conditioning areas. We'll have misting fans all over throughout the course.
I was up in Birmingham, and they've got that big track.
God's Country.
Yeah. They out there by where the horse track originally was, they built a big racetrack.
Barber Motorsports.
That's right. But it's you know, a bluff up here. It's down in a valley kind of thing. And I said, this would be cool. And they said, oh, yeah, people come up here and just park their trucks. It looks like a drive-in movie along here, because you can see, you know, you're a little too far away, but you can see pretty good.
Yeah.
You can sure see a wreck in the corners or something. That's what a lot of people go to races for.
That's true. Scheduling. Both of the big races, the 250 and the 450 classes are both, what, morning and then afternoon?
They're all afternoon.
All
so
afternoon.
The opening ceremonies of the race kicks off at 12:30 p.m. We've got the Navy Southeast Band that'll be coming out there and playing.
Got a flyover.
We've got some surprises on the horizon.
Sorry about that.
that's all right. Our military. I think, you know, we all know how proud we are of our military and what they do for us, and so we're going to do some honoring of the military at this race. But the races kick off at or start at 1:10 p.m. and will run through about 5 o'clock p.m. So, and then NBC comes on for a 2-hour window in there that they'll televise it. So, you know, Jacksonville will be on the spotlight again. If you look at sports in this city, you look at all the different things that we've done with March Madness and the players and now Spartan and motocross. Jacksonville's beginning to be seen as a true sports city.
You've expanded your high school basketball thing or football thing too, right?
This we year, haven't
the,
not, o- not,
the opening, not, the opening where you bring them all, you have several teams playing at the same time?
We'll be announcing certain things coming up in the next few weeks.
God, I'm just a damn spoiler, aren't I? I'm sorry.
I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride on my motorcycle. Well, I hope we have a huge crowd and beautiful weather next Saturday, folks. You need to get on out to WW Motocross Park on Otis Road. Real convenient, right off I-10. Get off at White House, take a left on Beaver Street, and look for the big sycamore tree and turn right there on Otis Road, right up there. No problem getting there. It's very convenient and going to be a lot of fun.
What can the fans bring? Are there restrictions like there are at golf tournaments?
They can bring in their own food. You can bring in a cooler. We will be wanding people, so from a metal perspective, no, obviously, knives, guns, whatever like that. We'll be making sure that we're protecting the people. But you can bring in bags. We have bag checks, so we are bringing in security. There'll be JSO officers roaming the property. We've got other security, undercover security. So it will be a very safe environment. You know, it's a shame that we have to do that nowadays, but you do. But everybody will be wanded that comes in.
I got several more questions here, but I'm thinking maybe I need to push my mic away and whisper in his ear before I ask him. So let me ask something that's generic. You know, when you go to a NASCAR race, there's this big parking lot full of trailers that the drivers have where they sell their own merchandise. Does that happen with these guys too?
Same thing, it's run through MX Sports. So they will have all the riders. They'll have all the brands. There'll be, you know, three or four places around the track that you'll be able to buy motocross and MX Sports merchandise. So very similar to, for those fans, if you haven't been to motocross, but you've been to NASCAR, very similar.
What do you think the economic impact of this first big event, motocross, is for Jacksonville?
You know, I think this could be, you know, the MXGP a few years ago was a $2 million impact to the community. I think this could be probably double and a half that, probably $5 million. In talking to the hoteliers, a lot of them definitely at Chafee Road, but then those in downtown are doing really well, which means the restaurants will do well, which means the taxes off the bed tax and all of that should do well. So, you know, it's a very good opportunity for this community. And really, it's all privately funded. So, you know, the city has done a lot. I got to give a lot of credit to Mayor Curry and Brian Hughes, his chief of staff, and then Michael Corrigan of Visit Jacksonville. They've really come in and helped put a lot of infrastructure in place for us. But for the most part, with dollars and cents, it really has come into, you know, a lot of private monies. I got to mention Ty Petway and the Petway family. Huge. Obviously, they're with U.S. Assure, but they are a big reason that this event is here, too, because Ty's a big motocross fan and really close friend of Junior. So, a lot of people, and it's a total Jacksonville event where a lot of people have come together.
Is this like in the bag for the future, or is it dependent on? Because I noticed I was looking back at the history, and I looked at the 12 tracks that are part of the series this year, and a lot of them are just like repetitious.
They've had it forever.
Right.
Yeah. Our goal, we have a 3-year arrangement, so it'll be here for the next 2 years. But then our goal is to do such a great job that we become one of those, you know, cities that it's always there and it's a tradition. We're the only, as you've looked at the cities, we're the only city in the race south of the Mason-Dixon line. So not only can we market the state of Florida, we can market Jacksonville, but come to the south. So we're drawing people from North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Miami, because this is the closest race they can get to.
What's next for Airstream? I'm going to let you be your own spoiler. And since I hear things, I'm afraid to say anything else, ask you any questions.
Nice general question, right?
There you go. So, but what's next for you?
We've got a lot of things, you know, on the horizon. We'll be making some fun announcements here in the next few weeks within our high school program. We announced our high school basketball tournament again. You know, we've got several top 50 players and top 100 players in this city in high school basketball this year, and all of them will be playing in our high school basketball tournament in December. But then we're going to be doing some things in the fall. And we have a music festival today. So the CSI Company's Country Music Festival out at the beach at Seawalk Pavilion starts at 1:30 today. We've got a bunch of country artists that'll be coming out there. So our staff and company is working with that. So a lot of different things that we're doing. But, you know, hopefully we'll be making some fun sporting announcements here in the coming weeks.
All right, this question's for both of you, since both of you gentlemen are just kind of woven into the fabric of Jacksonville, and I think you both would agree that you are. Peter, you've been doing baseball since, 1983? And you've been involved from JU to the city to the sports council to your own adventure, Airstream Adventures.
I was getting candy from Pedro in 1983 and he and his dad's office.
I remember Chris Allen's father bringing him to the ballpark when he was, I guess, 17 or 18, and said, Allen has decided to go to Sanford in Birmingham up there among your old stomping ground. I said, oh, man, old Howard College is a beautiful campus. That'll be a great place to go to school. And that doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's been a while, hasn't it? Gosh.
Just a few years.
It's hell getting old, Bruce.
Well, the question for both of you is, how important is it to bring events like this to Jacksonville? And I know that's your whole goal right now. I mean, that's what you do now as a profession. But it was important before, and we've talked about that when you were with the Sports Council. But how important is it to bring more and more of these diverse events to the city?
You know, it's extremely important, and I think we've had such a great foundation over the years of bringing sporting events. Rick Catlett of the Gator Bowl has been involved in the city for a long time in bringing sporting events, and a few others have really worked hard to build this foundation, and a lot of city leaders have done that. But I think when you look at what we've done as a community, where we're going as a city, you look at, and I've always said, cities are known by a couple things. One, this is Alan Verlander's opinion, maybe y'all disagree, but one, cities are known for what's their business commerce, right? They have their technology. We think of San Francisco or New York, high-tech financial districts, maybe a tragedy, unfortunately, that's something that happens, or huge events that happen in that city. That's kind of what cities are known for, and so we're becoming more and more of that sports destination. You look at the concerts that we've done, SMG continues to do, and the Jaguars at Daly's Place continue to do a great thing with entertainment. But sporting events and bringing more and more not only put more money into our economy, they bring more people into town, and they bring more people like the Bragans were brought here in the early 80s. They bring people like that to our city that end up staying and make this community what it is. When you say, Pedro, it's a very important part of the fabric.
You know, if you don't care and you just want to remain a Hickville, Cal Ford,
Big Lake City,
and sit around the house and barbecue in the backyard and stuff, then there's no sense in, you know, you're the kind that doesn't care about any events. But if you want Jacksonville to move forward, you know, ever since I've been here, we've been chasing Tampa. Tampa's always a little ahead of us, you know, having more stuff or thinking they're better and all. Really, I think Jacksonville has passed Tampa now. You know, we don't get that recognition, but the more diversity of the sporting events that come to this city or this area, the more we are advancing. And to heck with Tampa, we're going to pass them up, and we're going to be chasing Atlanta soon. So,
I like it. I like this guy.
But, yeah, I think it's great, and the work that Alan's doing is wonderful. You know, it's not all sports. Like you said, he's got a country music festival today, and he's doing other events too. But all of those events bring people to Jacksonville. There'll be somebody today drives down here from the Panhandle or Georgia or somewhere, goes out to the beach and has a great time at that concert and says, you know, honey, we ought to look at maybe getting us a place around here and leaving Albany. Or whatever, you know, I don't want to shade anybody's place, but the exposure to how wonderful we have a place here in North Florida that these events generate is makes it well worth the effort.
We're talking to Alan Verlander and Peter Bragan Jr. on All Things Jacksonville. We'll be back to close out
another session. We still got a few more things to talk about, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to All Things Jacksonville, your city, the people, and you on 1010XL.
Welcome back, everybody, to All Things Jacksonville. This portion of All Things Jacksonville is brought to you by Safari Truck of Jacksonville. Safari specializes in the application of Linex protective coating for truck bed liners. They take great pride in their personal customer service and wide range of spray jobs. Their standard Linex spray on bed liners are lab-tested, lifetime guaranteed to protect your truck bed from almost anything you can put it through. And here's how it works. Linex permanently bonds to your truck bed with a factory-like finish that follows every angle and curve to preserve precious cargo space while creating a watertight seal. So you'll have no air gaps or drill holes to give water a place to hide and rust a chance to take hold. So protect your investment with the toughest bed liner on the planet. Call Safari today and request a quote, or check them out on the web at safaritruckofjacksonville.com. We're talking to Peter Bragan and Alan Verlander. Alan, you got a music festival this weekend. You want to talk about that?
We do today, beginning at 1:30, the CSI Company's Country Music Festival. WQIK has played just a big role in that as well. And we've got a couple of, we've got several great country artists that will be out there at the Seawalk Pavilion. Starts at 1:30. Ryan Hurd is a headliner, and Tucker Bethford is a headliner. They'll be late tonight. The weather should be great. Once the sun starts setting tonight, it should be great. So get on out to the beach, and we got a lot of things going on there.
You know, I spent a little time yesterday at Visit Jacksonville talking to Katie and Patty.
Great people.
And one of the things that I learned that we kind of talked around a few minutes ago was we don't consider them tourists, but when you look at all the people that come in to visit people here in Jacksonville, we've got an incredible tourist base that we don't even kind of market to.
Yeah, but we're lucky. Very lucky.
So looking at doing some internal stuff like you're doing with this. I've seen it on every news station. And I guess you were doing promotions in addition?
We have been, yeah.
For the motocross?
That is correct.
All right, everybody. We've been talking to Peter Bragan, Alan Verlander on All Things Jacksonville. I want to thank you for listening today. I want to thank my sponsors, the Nimick Family of Dealers and Safari Truck of Jacksonville. Next week, Mr. Peter Bragan is coming back, and we're going to talk about professional baseball in Jacksonville from since there was dirt.
Bruce, Peter, I hope when I come back next week, the Florida State Seminoles and Coach Mike Martin are still alive out in Omaha.
Amen.
Amen to that, too. Go Noles. All right. See you next week, everybody.